Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 25th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 14, the sixth paragraph. My friend had emphasized. I'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Roz D.Z., who will be reading the 12 steps, Roz G. for the 12 traditions, Terry C., Marissa E., and Susan H. The share ID for Sunday, March 24th, the special edition, is 12,696, 12696. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 12,698. 12698. Our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. And sorry, give me a second here. I think I made a mistake on the share ID. So the special edition is 12,697, not 98. Sorry about that, you guys. Okay, our sole purpose. Our fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And one more thing, 12,698 is this morning's. Sounds like I'm mixing those up. Sorry, guys. Okay, I will now ask Robin D.Z. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Robin D.Z. from South Carolina. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 7. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for a knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you, Robin D.C. And Roz G., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Yes. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first, personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn in public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Past.
And thank you, Roz G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 14, the sixth paragraph. My friend had emphasized, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. And Terry C., if you could get us started, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for your perseverance. This is Terry C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. My friend had promised the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that. Thank you. Again, I'm Terry, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey, and I was just so struck this morning by this awesome paragraph, which was awesome before this morning, but now I'm looking, and the word work appears 5 times in this paragraph. And, you know, what I thought work was before I really understood how to work these steps the way they're outlined in the book, if I would have read that before, work and self-sacrifice for others, I would have justified my work that I was doing, which was really not really understanding what it meant to take action, which is work, not really understanding true self-sacrifice. What I was doing was I was policing food. I was being a life coach. I was policing my food. I was, you know, really just trying to hold on to that abstinence, which I thought was the most important thing in my life, and working a tool-based program with some faith sprinkled in because I did believe in a God. And today I know that my purpose is to love and to serve. I remember when I first heard a speaker say that, and I just thought like it was so, it was like an apostle speaking, and I thought it was very altruistic and almost surreal. But today I realized like it takes work to love and to serve. It takes work, continued inventory, seeing my part, seeing where I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. Looking and being, holding those character defects up and knowing that I'm only going to be rid of them when I let God in and realize it's the only way, that I have to rely on his help to get rid of them and see how they're not working for me and not allowing me to do his work. Forgiveness is another piece of work for me, you know, looking on everyone as a sick person and remembering that they deserve love because they're God's kids too. Making the amends, building and healing relationships, the praying that I have to do, which is work for me because I have to make cautious contact. I have to carry the vision of God's will into all my activities, which means constant prayer, constant thoughts of God. The big book tells me for my thoughts, my words, and my actions, I have to ask for help. The writing that I do a lot of writing because that's how I come in communion with God, and it's helpful to me. The meditation, which takes effort on my part, reading literature, expanding my understanding of the book by listening to speakers and participating in meetings, meetings that follow the book and meetings that don't follow the book so I can be of service. Nightly review, just keeping myself in check. And then the service isn't just about sponsorship. It's not just about, you know, sponsorship to me is working with others. That just means keep communicating the message, keep delivering it, keep receiving it, keep, you know, knowing, taking everything I know. And I'll just wrap up by saying, you know, service is about being a better servant in my program, but also at home and at work and in my social life. So all of that work gives me the privilege, and that's walking side by side with each one of you day by day. And I'm just so grateful for that. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Terry C. So who else would like to comment on this paragraph, page 14, the sixth paragraph my friend had emphasized?
Lisa B.
Cindy D.
Susan H.
Cindy D. Susan H. Anyone else?
Rachel F.
Rachel F.
Marissa E.
Marissa E.
Donna W.
Okay, I got Donna W. And who came in after Donna W.?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's stop there. Great. Okay, so I have Lisa B., Cindy D., Susan H., Rachel F., Marissa E., Donna W., and Jordan L. So go ahead, Lisa B.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. And it was suggested every so often I just let people know I spell my name L-E-S-A. You know, this is such an amazing reading. I was surrounded by people often in the rooms that were really good at encouraging me. They knew how to encourage me, and that was so disappointing because I really wanted to know how to get recovered. And it was very depressing to think that it might just be dependent on going to meetings and that's it. You know, maybe some abstinence here or there is as good as I could expect, but it's progress, not perfection. And when I came to this healthy meeting of A Vision for You, which is an OA meeting, but it's a very healthy meeting and it's focused in the big book, which is our solution, I was able to get armed with the facts about myself. And It started with working with someone in whom the problem has been solved that was armed with the facts about herself. And she was able to share with me about the mental aspect of this illness and the physical allergy and how that my mind will always take me back to the food. If I'm a real compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, as described in this book, that really I'm doomed, and that the 12 steps will treat my mind, and that there is a precise way of going through it using this big book. That's what really helped me, and it gave me so much hope and happiness and freedom. So now I'm armed with the facts about myself, and it's not so scary to work with others. I think it's very frightening to think about working with others if I'm not armed with the facts about myself. But if I really know who and what I am and back it up with document, you know, from the big book, you know, quotes from the big book, then it's not really me. I'm just being a carrier, you know, of this wonderful, profound message. And I can share with people that if it worked with the founding members of AA, I can have the same experience and that I can have permanent recovery. I do not have to relapse over and over again. So anyways, I'm just so grateful for that. And sharing that message with others is a very gratifying experience. And I need it. It saves my life. It truly saves my life. And it's a joy. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Lisa B. Lisa with an E. Okay, Cindy D., you're up next, followed by Susan H.
Good morning. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered. Compulsive overeater in Texas. And yeah, I was reading this morning, and what really caught my eye is, you know, that I will not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead if I'm not enlarging and perfecting my spiritual life. And you know, I've had a rough couple weeks in terms of feeling a little disconnected from my program because of family being here and because of some medical stuff that I've had going on, as well as my husband. And, you know, I was talking to a fellow this morning and saying that I was feeling like I wasn't doing enough to enlarge my spiritual life. And I was feeling disconnected. And it's just so connected to each other that not working my program as rigorously as I was and following all of, you know, my routines like nightly reviews was making me feel disconnected, and that was leading to me feeling like I had to do it alone and I had to white knuckle it and everything was tougher and everything was more stressful. And just talking about that out loud and starting to do some writing on some spot inventory and some fear inventory around these things, I've already started to feel the relief. And I feel like I'm connecting again with my higher power and learning how to talk to him more specifically about what's going on and listening for his direction and getting back to working my program rigorously. And, you know, what does that look like for me? What does, you know, the work and the self-sacrifice for others look like? And, you know, part of it, and I really appreciated the opening share because it really brought it home for me that part of it is taking care of myself. Because the big book tells us our main purpose is to be fit in order to be of maximum service. And that being fit part is being healthy. And that means emotional and spiritual health to me, not just the physical health. And so I'm just really feeling like this paragraph was written for me today. And it's so powerful and it's such a good reminder. And it's also bringing me some gratitude because I can see that I may not have worked my program as hard the last 2 weeks as I had been, but I am still working it. I am still neutral around the food, which I'm so grateful for, that through all this, that hasn't been where I've gone, where I would have gone in the past. I'm so grateful for my fellows that helped me see how I can contribute and that I can learn from them and do this work and just be so grateful. So I appreciate the opportunity to share, and I'll pass back to you. Thank you.
And thank you, Cindy D. Susan H., you're up next, followed by Rachel F.
Thank you. This is Susan H. in Ohio. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and very grateful. The language is very clear. Absolute necessity is very clear-cut directions. I love it when the directions are clear-cut, and that's what I love about the big book. They're black and white. By working the steps, by stepping out in faith, praying for knowledge of higher powers, well, and the willingness and ability to carry those out, I find I'm pulled along by my higher power. It amazes and delights me. When I have tried to find a higher power before in my life, which I didn't have good luck at, I always felt like, well, I have to do what they say. And I am stepping out in faith and doing what the book says, but my higher power is pulling me into a relationship with him as long as I do continue to step out in faith and do what I thought I could not and do my best to please him and do what I believe he would have be, what he would have me be. I feel when I first hear directions, my first thought is, oh, that's too tough. But it's not. And if I keep working and praying, my higher power brings me along to it. So I am so grateful that I have continued to step out in sponsoring as I was sponsored and in service as it appears to me that I can step out and do that. Because if I continue to pray and continue to practice and trust, these things are happening in my higher power's time. I am very grateful, and my life has changed entirely as a result of these steps. So, thanks, and I will pass at that.
And thank you, Susan H. Rachel F., you're up next, followed by Marissa E.
Good morning. My name is Rachel F., compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for leading the meeting for everyone's shares. So in regards to the reading, I don't remember exactly what it read, but working with the others. So in order I should be able to eventually work with others, I'm in the beginning of my journey to in recovery. That means to me that I need to do my best to work this program one day at a time and come to meetings and listen and learn. And it is pretty simple, but it's not always easy, especially with life going on and everything that's going on in life. But I have to make this my priority and my first, and also in order to, I should stay abstinent. And I hope it is very encouraging to know that that once I work the steps and I recover, I will be able to work with others. It sounds seems exciting. So I'll keep coming back and hopefully get to that place as well. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel F. So, Rissa E., you're up next, followed by Donna W.
Thank you. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E., recovered in Pomona, California. Faith without works was dead. We see this here, actually, and then we're going to see that line two times in the Into Action chapter. We see it with steps 8 and 9. Talk about works, right? Like lots of demonstration of program. And then again at the end of step 11. And yeah, I remember when I first read it, I was like, faith without works is dead? Like, what does that even mean? And, right, so I look at my dictionary. Faith, right, that's the prerequisite. It's saying faith without works. So I have to have faith, right? I have to have complete trust and confidence in something, right? Which I get steps 1 through 3. And then the works, right? I looked up that, and that's an activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result, right? And that's, you know, that's 4 through 12, basically. And if I don't keep this up. That's what this is telling me. That's what Ebby is telling Bill. If you don't continue to carry the message and practice these principles in all of your affairs, you're going to drink, right? This is a prescription. This is a direction. And it's just what I have to remember, right? So I have to keep that faith, and then I have to demonstrate that faith through my actions, right? And like our the first share said, like it's not necessarily 12-step work. I remember when I was entirely abstinent, you know, after a couple days, I was calling people because I had a couple days, right? Some people, like, that's amazing, right? They need that talk. They need that guidance. They need that experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, it's talking to my friend, it's being of service to my dog, it's, you know, sponsoring, it's all of that, but just demonstrating that service, that humility. And sometimes, yeah, I don't, you know, I'll lose that faith or I don't want to do the works. And then again, right, that's my time to really get quiet and just get that conscious contact and then take the next right action. So that's it. Thank you, Kathleen.
And thank you, Marissa E. So Donna W., you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. And thank you, Kathleen and Team Monday. I'm so grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today. And, working this program in all my affairs, just looking for that sentence. Yeah, demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. So that I, for many years, I worked this program to be thin. And I did get thin, but then I had a death grip on being thin, on my weight, and I did not have serenity, and was not working this program in all my affairs, and also was not really working on the spiritual part. It was really the physical part. So with a vision for you, it really helped me to see that this is a principle, this is a spiritual program, and that part of being spiritual is depending on my higher power and for everything. So I've been really working hard to turn my body shape, size, and weight over to my higher power, that my weight is none of my business. You know, for most of my life, the size of my body has been the size of my self-worth. And really doing my best to, you know, turn that over to God. It's hard at times because I really can want to have a death grip around it. And that my purpose is to be of maximum service to God and my fellows and get out of my own way. So that's what I'm working on now. I'm really glad that I'm learning that this is a spiritual program. I'm doing my best to connect with a higher power and get on God's beam. You know, one part of my disease is I've got to figure it all out. It's all up to me, self-reliance. So, you know, just really remembering I just need to stay on God's beam today. I don't need to figure it all out, and I need to be of service. So I'm really grateful that I'm learning all of that very slowly at times, the food is not the solution. The size of my body is not the solution either. That's been a big thing for me. I've been working the 12 steps on my that death grip on my weight and my body, and that's helping me a lot. So thank you so much. Got a pass.
And thank you, Donna W. So before we take Jordan, just a reminder, we're on page 14, the sixth paragraph. My friend had emphasized. We're commenting on that one paragraph only, and I'll be taking some names after Jordan. So Jordan, now go ahead, please.
Good morning,
Jordan.
Excuse me. Good morning, guys. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Grateful to be alive this morning. And I'm super glad that all of you guys are on the line, too. Because this practicing these principles in all of my affairs, or I guess demonstrating, is the term that Bill uses here. These principles in all my affairs is not... It's not always easy, especially when it comes to like interacting with humans out in the world that are not practicing this program, you know. So anyway, I again am very grateful that I have you guys to do this alongside, because I couldn't do it by myself. I know several people have pointed this out, but I read the Big Book for like years without seeing this, the precise instruction here for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life. That sounds so difficult. As an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater, like, perfecting and enlarging my spiritual life, are you kidding me? I'm just trying not to destroy my life. Like, I have this real bad habit of self-destruction through addictive behaviors. You know what I mean? And now, like, now I have to perfect and enlarge my spiritual life. Like, whoa. But then Bill has this really precise direction to work in self-sacrifice for others. It's not a matter of, you know, perfecting, enlarging my spiritual life. I don't have to be a monk and go live in at the top of Nepal or anything like that. You know what I mean? Which actually might be kind of cool. But anyway, besides the point, it's not as big or scary as I thought. You know, like it's telling me right here, work in self-sacrifice for others. The easiest part for me, anyway. It's very easy for me to go to work and be of service to other people, like my job, and be of service to other people. In my case, I can actually take that word work very literally. And I can just go to work and be of service to other people and do my job and try to help them do theirs to the best of their ability. You know what I mean? Like, that's a really easy out for me as far as being of service to other people, as well as the 12th step. Again, this is just my personal experience. I enjoy that today. I enjoy sharing my experience with another compulsive overeater. I enjoy seeing another compulsive overeater climb out of the pit. And I have no problem jumping in there and climbing out with them just because I've done it. You know what I mean? Like, you can do it and get to the other side. And then the real important part, surviving the certain trials and low spots ahead. Bill is telling you right here that it's not supposed to be like pink roses and rainbows and everything on the other side. You know what I mean? Like, we do this so that we can get through the hard stuff, you know, and we do it together. I'll wrap up. We do it haltingly and not very pretty sometimes, but it's just practice, so it's all good, you know. That's all I got. Thanks, Kathleen.
Okay, thank you, Jordan L. And who else would like to share on this paragraph, the sixth paragraph on page 14?
Karen W.
Yes.
Okay, I heard three names. So hold on. I heard three names before Elaine B. Who were the
Laura
first
w.
three that came in? Laura W.
Kelly.
Kara L. And Kara L. Okay, hold on. Kelly, what's the first initial of your last name?
S as in Stafford. Sam. Whatever.
S is in Sam.
Yeah.
Okay. And because I didn't hear the word you said. Okay. Okay. So I can
Jackie
make
H.
More.
Jackie H. Patty G.
Okay. Patty G. Okay.
Patty
let's stop
G.
there.
Oh, okay.
I got Patty G. Okay. So I have Laura W., Kelly S., Kara L., Elaine B., Jackie H., and Patty G.
Actually,
so go ahead, Laura.
Thank you. Good morning,
it's Patty,
everyone. It's
Patty T. Sorry. Okay, Laura, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thanks so much. My name is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, exercise bulimic in South Jersey. These are such great instructions. And the one thing I love so many things about the Big Book, but one of the things I like is that I don't have to figure it out. It's all here in front of me. It's like, you know, in my disease, I was very list-oriented and everything had to be perfect in order, but this book has it right in front of me. It tells me the directions. And, you know, it says faith without works is dead, but you know what? Works without faith is just selfishness and ego. If I'm just doing work without faith in God and thinking I'm running the show, I'm going to get myself into trouble. I'm going to relapse. And this is wonderful because it tells me that it's a warning. You know, there's warnings and there's solutions. And the warning is if he doesn't enlarge his spiritual life, he will not survive the certain trials of and low spots ahead. And he would surely drink, and to drink is to die. And that's a warning. So if you do this, then that will happen. And it's simple, not easy, but simple. And I agree, you know, I have to do this work every single day and rely on my higher power. And then I do survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. Life is not easy. You know, life happens whether or not, I'm looking for it to happen. And God gives me certain things that I don't necessarily like and I don't necessarily think are fair. But through this program and through over 14 years of working this over and over and over again, you know, and I've shared this before, I was able to hold my dad's hand and lay with him when he died and sit there while the funeral home came and took him away, and then 20 minutes later looked at my watch and goes, yeah, you know, I better eat my lunch, because it was like 2:45 in the afternoon, and I went and had my lunch, and that was not me. The old me would say, you're not eating, you have to control the situation, you're going to starve yourself because that's the only thing you can control. These certain low spots in our lives happen, but with my higher power running the show today, I'm able to handle these things one day at a time, and that is what this is about. This is not about the food for me. This is about transforming my life, getting closer to a higher power, and surrendering one moment at a time. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Laura W. Kelly S., you're up next, followed by Kara L.
Good morning. This is Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And my name's with an EY. So anyway, glad to be on the line. Love this paragraph. And like Jordan was talking about, I call it the Big Book fairies. They come down and put things in, because I've been around these rooms for 30-something years, and I just get surprised and amazed of the new things I see all the time, which I guess is why we continue to study it, right? So the phrase I didn't ever see until about a year into my recovery was through work and self-sacrifice of others. I'm like, when did that get put in there? I'm like, I know it talks about, you know, that we have to maintain our spiritual growth. And I was like, okay, so that just means more prayer and meditation, which is important. I'm not going to say it isn't. I do it every day. I do connect with my higher power. But work and self-sacrifice with others. I mean, that's right. I mean, we have instructions right here in the Big Book what we're supposed to be doing, and why is that? And I think about it because we're selfish and self-centered, or I am. It tells us that. That's the root of my problems, and the best way to get out of that, to get that root out of the ground, is to get out of myself and help other people. And I think it's important that, you know, through self-sacrifice, it's like, you know, I get to that place where I have a couple of sponsees, and I have my sponsor, I'm making my calls, and everything's comfortable. But, you know, my disease makes me very uncomfortable. You know, people say my disease wants me dead. I think my disease just wants me to suffer. And so, I have to get out of myself, and I have to give back what I've been given. And it says when these trials and tribulations come up, you know, this one of the things I love about this program is that it tells me the truth, right? So stuff's going to happen. It tells us that later on in steps 10, 11, and 12, when these things crop up. So my ego is that if I'm working this program, if I'm connected with God, if I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, everything's going to go my way, right? And this stuff won't come up. But no, stuff's going to happen. And now what the program's teaching me is now that I put the food down, which we know is the most important thing first, is I have to stay connected with my higher power and you guys so I can get through this stuff that it's telling me. Life's going to happen. And I need to know how to do it, so I'm not looking for ease and comfort and food or drugs, or alcohol, or people. I'm looking for it in my higher power, and I find my higher power in these steps and with you guys. You know, my higher power speaks to me through you guys, through this literature, And that's why I have to keep doing the work. I have to get out of self. You know, I do connect with my God. And I think that's important. We have to find that balance. I can't give away something I don't have. So, you know, I have to remember that. I have to put the oxygen mask on me first, and then I have to get busy working these steps and give it away. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Kelly S. So, Kara L., you're up next, followed by Elaine B.
Good morning. This is Kara L. from Recovered Compulsive Overeater in Long Beach, California. Thank you for everybody who's doing service today, and thank you for everybody who's already shared. I've gotten so much out of it. I just had this epiphany this morning reading this. Same line we've been talking about, you know, enlarging spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others. And I just read that line differently. I've read it a lot, and I read it differently this morning, is that, you know, am I asking my higher power how I can be of service to others, or am I just trying on my own will to be of service to others, to you know, think that I know what's best for everybody else. I know what's best for how I should act and how I should go into a certain situation. And so this morning when I said through work and self-sacrifice, I said the sacrifice of my ego and self, that I actually know what another human being needs, that it's up to me to fix another human being rather than seeing a situation, saying, God, how may I be of service here? What would you like me to do? And, you know, I just, you know, those trials come. And before recovery, those trials, I worshipped the God of intellect and self-sufficiency. I did not turn to my higher power for answers. And today, I'm seeing this today, and I'm like, wow, you know, I'm trying to be a better human being, but that's all me. Where am I asking? Where am I asking for guidance? Am I, you know, I practice every day, you know, asking God for what should I eat and what should I wear today? Should I go right or left in my walk today? But when it comes to the bigger things, like, wow, the situation is difficult. God, how can I be of service? Am I asking? Am I putting down my ego and my self-will? Am I asking, you know, God, please give me freedom from my self-will here and direct my thinking to what you would have me be? You know, how can I be of service? I say those words in the morning, in my morning meditation, but I don't think I take them into all my situations in my life. You know, when I'm working with others in program, it's easier, but when I'm out of program and I'm working with people that are not in recovery, am I saying that to God? How may I be of service here? Please give me the words. Please light me up with your light so that I may be of service here. It struck me so much today, and I'm thankful for everybody, and I'm thankful for Vision, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. And Elaine B., you're up next, followed by Jackie H.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. Oh, this is Elaine B., gratefully recovered in Massachusetts. Thank you, God. Giving credit where credit is due. So practicing these principles, these are the principles. There's slight variations in different versions, but honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, brotherly love, justice, perseverance, spirituality, and service. And it really takes all of these to do this work, you know, and work. Doing this work is one of the ways that I perfect and enlarge my spiritual life. The spiritual program is based on the maintenance and growth of a fit spiritual condition. And, you know, like I said, working with others can be hard, but I thought of a couple of readings. That's, you know, that's the way work, work, work. The word work just always seems hard. But this is the reading that I thought that it talks about this work. This is on page 89, working with others, to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you won't want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and each other is the bright spot of our lives. And then our beloved page 164, it talks about that he will show you how to create the fellowship you crave, and that We should ask him each morning in our morning meditation what we can do each day for the man who is still sick. That's part of my practice, that I should be practicing these principles, doing this work every day with somebody. And in order to get there, we have to put the food down. And I often refer people to page 70, the instructions about to sum up about sex. It talks about if sex or food or my job or a relationship or whatever it is very troublesome. We throw ourselves harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. So if we're practicing these principles, the 10-step promise is going to come true, that we'll recoil from food as from a hot flame. We'll have that daily reprieve, and we'll be more able to experience this. Page 100 promises that I love, that the things we put in God's hands come out better than anything we could have planned. So thanks so much. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Elaine B. So Jackie H., you're up next, followed by Patty T., and we only have about 4 minutes. So if you each want to take two, that might work.
Good morning. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. There's so much in this paragraph that I will try to get it in here. Faith without works is dead. How did I get that faith? I did that. I got that faith by working this simple plan, this simple, practical plan that's outlined in this book. And I did get that faith there. And so I get to keep it. And how do I keep it? Though I get to give it away. And what does it look like for me to enlarge my spiritual life through work with self-sacrifice for others? You know, as I've been listening, that self-sacrifice just kept tripping me up a little bit, because my idea of self-sacrifice in the past has been I totally give everything that I have constantly, and I think that this is a good thing, right? But it's really my ego saying, give, and leave nothing. I mean, just totally give, which is, yes, I do want to do that. But to where I'm running circles around myself, putting too much on my plate, but that is not what this is talking about. Someone said something earlier about it's the ego that we're wanting to sacrifice. We're one, and that ego looks like too much work, too little work. That's our business here to figure out what that self-sacrifice looks, what that ego looks like, so that we can surrender that, and that we can enlarge our spiritual life by our own watching our minds. That's what we do with our 10 steps, right? And we get to see what's tripping us up. I want to be fit for maximum service for my Creator and my fellows. I can't do that if my spiritual life is not enlarged. And I can't do that if I'm not honest with myself, watching my mind, seeing what needs to be brought forward for healing, so that I can then turn around and be that person that can carry the message, which is a beautiful message. And I think I hurried really fast. But anyway, thank you so much, and I will pass.
And thank you, Jackie H. So, Patty T., you have just under 2 minutes here.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Kathleen. Oh, everybody, I just want to thank you for all the shares I've heard today, and I will be very brief. You know, the instructions in this paragraph are also, for me, experience. I still, I can still remember being bereft of a spiritual life, and how my ego was in charge, and how I surely ate again, and how I surely died spiritually, and how the cynicism ran through my life, so I know that is for certain. And that certainly bad things will happen, struggles will appear. But today I just get to do the work, and the work for me in helping others is just to share my own experience. I'm not God. I get to see today that I don't have to be God in order to help somebody. All I have to do is be willing to listen just be willing to listen, just to be willing to say, you know what, this is what I had to do, you know, and that's it. And I, you know, that's such a simple thing. But, you know, with someone, for somebody with a really big ego, that seems too simple, right? But they say this program is simple, not easy. So my restraining my ego and just asking God for the next indicated action and the next words to come out of my mouth, that for me is helping perfect my spiritual life and my connection to my higher power. So helping others connects me to my higher power and shows me the route to God day in and day out. And that's all I have. And thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
And thank you, Patty T. Okay, and thank you everyone who shared this morning. So you had some excellent shares. And special thanks to our team Monday this morning, Robin DZ, Roz G, Terry C, Marissa E, and Susan H. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Marissa E., will you please read a vision for you?
Yes, this is Marissa E., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Pomona, California. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.